This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
The Highland Lakes region in the heart of the Texas Hill Country is less than an hour from Austin, but it's truly a world apart. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along for an exploration of cool things to do, unique places to stay, and a taste of the world of Texas Hill Country's world-class wines.
I'm Andy Ball, and I'm tourism coordinator for Burnett County.
Burnett County is in the heart of the Texas Hill Country.
It is, absolutely.
It's in kind of its own little universe, and yet it's not very far at all from Austin, Texas.
That's right, and that's why so many people like to come out here. It's an easy drive from Austin or San Antonio. It's a very fun place to be, lots of beautiful lakes. The Hill Country is lovely, wineries and breweries. Great food.
Isn't that fascinating? The winemaker here where we're at right now was saying, I think it's 65 miles to Austin, Texas.
It's not that far.
And their people, we know they commute further than that.
You know, in Texas, people don't mind driving. So they'll drive an hour and a half to 2 hours to go somewhere they want to have dinner.
As I look around where we are right now at a winery in the countryside, it feels like we're 100 or 200 miles from any big city.
So peaceful and quiet, and you can hear the wind go through the leaves, and you realize a beautiful day, sun is shining, must be heaven.
Pretty much. What are some of the main draws that why people come here? I know first thing I think of are the lakes. And that's personal, but...
No, I think you're right. The lakes are the draw. A lot of people on the lakes come from Midland, out in West Texas, where there's not a lot of water. And so they have second homes here, and they come on weekends or for a week or two in the summertime. And I think water is a draw. There's something so relaxing about sitting alongside water.
Give us a word picture of the water world here, because when we say lakes and reservoirs, I mean, they're huge. The one was like 68, 70 miles long.
So it's really a river, has several dams on it, and it was actually built for flood control. It starts at Lake Buchanan and then into Inks Lake, which has Camp Longhorn, which is well-known camp for children in the summer, to Lake LBJ, which is named for former president.
Yeah.
That's right. Then goes down to Lake Marble Falls and then flows into Lake Travis and then down into Austin, Lake Austin, Lady Bird Lake, and then on down the rest of the way down to the coast.
Interesting. And talk about the Colorado River, which is here in the county, but people get confused and they go, wait a minute, I thought it was in Arizona.
That's true. People always go, how can the Colorado River be there? But the Colorado River does run through Texas.
It's separate. You have your own river.
Texas likes to have everything. So we have our own Colorado River.
So your primary demographic would be majority Texans that come here on vacation on holiday? Or would it be throughout the Southwest?
There's a lot of Texans. Mm-hmm. But I have friends who come from other states, and just because they've heard about it, it's very popular right now.
Give me an example of some of the other destinations that people come from. Would it be East Coast or California?
You know, a lot of Californians have moved to Texas. I think they probably tell their friends about it, which make it more popular. A lot of people from the East Coast, and in the wintertime, we have a lot of winter Texans. So people come from Michigan and Minnesota and Wisconsin and spend their winters here.
Tell us about some of the other things that people do here. Would biking be a big draw?
Biking is a big draw. Austin is a big bicycle world, so they generally bike from that 65 miles out here. So people spend a lot of time on their bikes. A lot of outdoor activities here.
Other popular ones that first come to mind, I would imagine I would want to kayak myself.
People do kayak, they rent boats, they rent jet skis, zip lines out here. A lot of people just come out here just to have a glass of wine and sit down and relax. There's something for everybody.
What I think of is sitting out on my veranda overlooking the lake and doing nothing for a couple days.
I think that would be pretty nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's something to offer anyone who wants to come. One of the stops you made today was at the Sweetberry Farm. If you have children, there's a lot of children activities out here. So there's something for everybody.
And how about dining restaurants? You get some real Texas fare out here.
Lots of barbecue.
And brisket, I imagine. Yeah.
Barbecue, brisket. There's some fine dining restaurants. Mm-hmm. There's the Blue Bonnet Cafe, which has been around for a very long time.
That's a legend, isn't it?
Famous for their pies. Uh-huh. So when you walk in, The first thing you see after you wait in line to enter is the cooler with maybe 6 inches of meringue on the pies. And I know that when a lot of people would bring their children to camp, they would always make a stop at the Bluebonnet Cafe, either on their way out or on their way back.
Mandatory stop.
Mandatory. So there are lots of restaurants and quite a bit to choose from.
If I was coming down here for the first time, what would be the 1, 2, 3 things that you would want to go to me and go, oh my gosh, you need to do this?
Take time to drive around the lakes and look at the lakes. Look at a list of wineries, maybe make a stop, or a brewery, because there's several new breweries and distilleries. And just take your time, spend the night, eat somewhere, enjoy it. Look at the sky. You can see the sky at night here that you can't
see. Dark sky.
That's right. That's right.
They actually have star viewing here at night, right?
They do.
There's a resort where they do that.
They do at Canyon of the Eagles. They have a fabulous way to sit down, look at the stars, and enjoy the night sky.
And one more, let's loop back to breweries. One of my favorite brewery stops in my life was right here, Save the World Brewery.
Yes, that's right. Two doctors had a passion for beer and wanted to open a brewery. And
these are young doctors.
They're very young.
They dropped out to make beer. It's like, wow.
I know, they do. And they're very philanthropic. They give back to the community.
I think it's 100% of their profits donated to nonprofits.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. They're just really involved in the community and extremely energetic. Great fun place to go.
Well, thanks for sharing. So glad I met you and came here.
Thank you. Glad to meet you, too.
Judge James Oakley, here we are in Burnett County.
Burnett County. Burnett is the county seat. Yes, sir.
Real interesting. I think you might remember my mom from Salado.
93 Great. Years old and
yeah.
around to golf on her birthday
yeah,
this year.
Yep. So I'm familiar with the territory, with the hill country. Salado's, 75 miles away? And this is a different universe. Distinctly different.
Yeah, Salado is a little bit more of a farming type area, a lot more black dirt, and this is in the hill country where we've got rock outcroppings, be it granite or limestone.
They have Stillhouse Hollow Reservoir there.
Stillhouse Hollow is a minnow bucket compared to Lake Buchanan, let's face it.
And that's another thing. So many people I talk to that aren't from Texas, don't come here, don't know anything about it. They just have no mental image of there being these giant lakes.
You know, it's hard to describe Texas because Texas is like its own country between having deserts and East Texas swamplands. We have the beach. We have farmlands and the panhandle where all the counties are flat and square. And then we have what I think is best, and I'm biased, is the Texas Hill Country, predominantly represented by limestone and granite outcroppings.
Yet very lush and green with your oaks.
Yes, we have great oak trees that are fairly well drought resistant. We have wet years, we have dry years. But as you see by all the greenery around us, of course, we see a lot of cedar trees, or as the urban folks call them, junipers, ash junipers. And they are fairly new to the area. They've only been around about 150 years.
Right now, we're right on the edge of a lake at an inn. And this is Painted Sky Inn?
We are up at the headwaters of Lake Buchanan, right where the river turns into a lake at Painted Sky Inn. Which the venue is perfect for its sunsets because it's west facing, and that's why they call it Painted Sky, because you know no two sunsets are alike. I'm fifth generation from here. I learned to water ski on this lake, and we've seen it whenever the lake's 50 foot lower than what it is now. It's completely full now.
Literally to the brim, isn't it?
It's pretty much to the brim. I think it's about 2 foot from hitting the spillway. Right across the way is Llano County. Lake Buchanan, which is Colorado River, separates Burnett from Llano County. You know, as you look up the river here, you get to see where the headwaters go. And I understand y'all took the Vanishing Texas River cruise. And, you know, that name is really reminiscent of what it is. It's Vanishing Texas because as the populations want to get out of the cities and come up our way, everybody wants their little spot on the western frontier, and they find their little spot. And
well, that being said, is real estate and housing starts growing?
Oh, there's the real estate market's hot. Yeah, a lot of folks are wanting to get out of the cities. You know, so many people are moving to Texas from California and other states.
What could you buy an acre for up here? So we'll just say start out. You know, something that you'd be proud of.
You'd be hard-pressed to find an acre in an unplatted subdivision. In a platted subdivision, I don't think you could find an acre for less than $20,000, mm-hmm. but you're going to go quickly up anything along the lake. You buy by the foot, right. not by the acre.
Right. Interesting. But again, like you're alluding to, somebody coming from California or a high-priced urban area, this is a deal.
Well, and that's what we find, is people from California will sell a home they had there for $600,000 or $700,000, and they pay cash for a $400,000 home, which, you know, at probably around $125 a foot will buy you quite a nice home. But the living expenses are less here in Texas than they are in California.
Let's talk about you. You're a county judge. But it's not a judge with a robe, right? Tell us about what it is in function.
Well, true. So all 254 counties in Texas, by the Texas Constitution, have a one county judge and four county commissioners. And as the county grows, that county judge is going to be supplemented with a statutorily established court-at-law judges. And then as the county grows more, they add those. Burnett County just added a court-at-law judge system back in 2002 to divide the task at hand. So what happens there is I focus more on the business of the county, almost like the mayor of the county, but we have a horizontal org chart to where, you know, nobody answers to me, I answer to the voters. So whereas a city would have a vertical org chart where the mayor and city council up top and then the city manager, assistant city manager, and then your department heads below that. So I don't wear a robe per se. I do probate and guardianship hearings uncontested, and that's very gratifying to be able to do that. But I'm naturally not geared for the criminal front side. I have a hard time dealing with people that can't play by the rules.
Let's jump to the big picture of Burnett County.
Okay.
And what's cool about it, why somebody should come here and what they would do to visit, you know, on holiday, vacation.
You know, I know for my own family, it's kind of a pain to put everybody on a plane and go far, far away. And so we're always looking for neat places to go that are, let's just say, a half day's drive away. And so if a person was in Houston or Dallas or something, just really wanting to get away for the weekend, I want them to know what we have to offer as a really big park setting. You know, we've got five lakes. We've got these wonderful hill country views. We have some really neat offerings insofar as the brew pubs, the wineries, the music venues, the lakes, the golf courses. There's lots of things to come see and do. It's a great place to establish those memories with your kids and your family.
Talk about one or two representative places to stay.
So there's several bed and breakfasts that are just really just a single family home that are neat, that have zero edge pools that are overlooking the lakes, and that's all cool. You have a property like where we are tonight that is really more based on fishing and has individual rooms that with simply two beds, it's really more of a motel type setting, if you will, and it's kind of retro in its own right.
With Denise Lewis, the owner and innkeeper of Painted Sky Inn?
Painted Sky Inn.
Almost wanted to say Painted Sunset Inn.
It's just as well.
Yeah, that really is a magic moment here, isn't it?
That's the best feature of the place, is the sunsets. Yes.
So I was showing you a picture of the Big Island of Hawaii sunset, and you went, oh, is that out front here?
Yeah, it looked like what my pictures look like. I thought, oh, you have a picture of Painted Sky and Sunset. No, that's Hawaii.
That's quite a testimonial, isn't it?
It really is.
Yeah. Well, here we are in the middle of a rural area. It's not even really a community. I couldn't find a general store. How far is it to get to the nearest village?
The nearest village is Burnett, and it's about 15 miles.
Mm-hmm. So you gotta do your grocery shopping ahead of time.
You do, and we try to tell people that. There is a little convenience store that's about a mile and a half away, but we are in rural, quiet area.
That's intentional why you are here, right?
That's one of the positives, is it's a place for people to get away from the noise.
Yeah, yourself included. I kind of remember your background in real estate, and that was in more of an urban area.
Yes, I did real estate in Austin. Still do some. But, yeah, completely different kind of environment. So
great mental cleanser for you, for sure.
Absolutely. Completely different environment to work in and play in.
Let's talk word picture about the Painted Sky Inn, because it is so distinctive and so unlike. I can't think of any other inn or hotel or motel in the whole region that's quite like your place?
Well, we're a little rural inn at the tip of a subdivision, and we're pretty much surrounded by water hills, and you have a beautiful view of the lake.
And I was thinking of the architecture and the units themselves. I mean, it's classic retro.
It really is. One of our guests called it 50-style motor inn, and that really does paint that picture of you've got a 50-style motor inn that's right on the lake.
But you have redone every inch, and you're probably your knees and hands are worn out.
We went through an extensive remodel in 2010 and 11. I had the place completely shut down and did a complete gut on the place.
And it was really hands-on. You were a part of the crew.
Yes. I was the general contractor, and I was the person who picked up the materials. So it was a long process, but very rewarding.
Typically, who comes and stays here? Is it more of a word of mouth, regional people, people, Austin people getting away?
Most of the people that are coming are from the city, so we get a lot of people from Dallas and Houston, Austin and Midland. They're wanting to get away from the noise of the city.
How do they find out about you?
Well, there's a lot of different ways they find us, from referrals, but they also find us on TripAdvisor, they find us on Booking.com, they find us on our website. There's a number of places that they find us on.
And what is most successful for you? Where do you put your energy? Any one place it more than another? TripAdvisor, for example, I know a lot of hoteliers and motel people really are impressed and proud of it.
I think TripAdvisor has done great for us because our reviews are very great on all channels. And so I think TripAdvisor is very helpful because people can go there and see the reviews and then confirm that they want to stay with us versus, you know, if they just booked somewhere without the reviews. That's been very helpful. But we've been 5-star on pretty much all the channels that we are on.
And what is included? You have self-catering units where you can cook in there? You have little ovens and, yeah?
I like that term, self-catering. Yes, that's very much what it is. We have kitchens in the rooms. You know, we're 15 minutes away from, or 20 minutes away from town. It makes it very useful for people to be able to bring their food. Mm-hmm. And they don't have to eat in a restaurant if they don't want to. But we're not that far away that they can't eat out.
You say the majority do bring their own stuff to cook and prepare or to eat raw or whatever.
Most people do bring their own food, but we do have some people that will still go out to eat. And we recommend restaurants in the area for them. But it makes it so they don't have to if they don't want to.
So right now we're sitting about 2 feet from the lake. Behind us there are boats, and I see one boat, so cute, rowboat, two fishing rods sticking out of it, and a bait bucket next to it, right up on the shore there. Say I was staying here, could I take that boat out and go fishing? Does anybody do that?
The little bitty boat that you're talking about belongs actually to an individual that lives in the neighborhood.
So he wouldn't even know we took it then.
Well, he wouldn't probably know. We do have a fishing guide service that parks their boat here, and so you can hire him to take you out on a fishing tour.
Do people do that sometimes, your guests?
They do that a lot, yes.
So when they bring the fish back, how do they prepare it?
Well,
you have a barbecue here?
The fishing guide actually will actually fillet the fish, and then people can cook them up here. Yeah, so you can either smoke them. We have a really big smoker, or you can pan fry them or fry them or however you want to cook them up or take them home.
Do you call that an integral part of a stay for a lot of people here or some percentage?
Well, some percentage, yes. Some people are fishermen and some people are just people to get away and want to enjoy the view. So it's a mixed bag.
Probably want to keep the deer hunters away.
You know, we don't have a lot of deer hunters.
Well, I mean, all they'd have to do is walk out their front door. Or they could sit in the chair in their front door.
We have a lot of live deer in the neighborhood, and they're quite protected and they're very spoiled. So.
Oh, they are. I was walking by a little teenage one yesterday, and it just kind of looked up, and you know, it's like, so didn't move, didn't get spooked.
Yeah, you're in his territory. Mm-hmm. So they look at us like, what are you doing here? Get out of our way. But it's very nice for the guests. They enjoy seeing the deer and something different for them.
Kids probably love it.
Kids love it. They come very close to you. So if they think you have food in your hands, they'll come close. What's new? Yeah. Well, we're always doing something different. The newest thing this year is that we're becoming slowly an invisible services hotel.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that we're here to take care of the guests, but they don't have to look for us for services.
So how do you get service if you can't see you?
Well, one of the things is that all of our doors are coded locked. Mm-hmm. Guest is given a code, so they don't have to check in. They don't have to check out. It's paperless. And I'm turning the office into a lounge instead of an office, and so the guests can access the office for extra things if they need it. We're still here, mm-hmm. but it's only if
you're needed. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah. It's a slow process right now because I'm the one handling it, but I'm getting there, almost there.
So that would imply kind of an online booking system where they'd make their reservation, a lot of them online?
Yes, we do have an online booking system, and so that's always been, but the communication is all, it will be as in how they get into the room and how they check in and out, which really is very streamlined.
No key.
No key. It's really easy. And then the other thing that's coming up future is that we're planning on transforming our RV sites into tiny home cottages. And so I'm really excited about that, and that's coming up in the next probably 6 months.
Very cool. Well, next time I come back, I'll see some tiny houses and maybe some tiny people staying in there.
Tiny people or big people, we're welcoming all of them. And I think that'll give us an opportunity to have an ADA-compliant unit as well. We're excited about that.
All right. Denise Lewis, owner and innkeeper at Painted Sky Inn in the middle of the Hill Country.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm glad you were here. Great to catch up.
Then you say you've got Canyon of the Eagles, which is more of like a state park setting.
Resort-like, isn't it?
Yeah, it's resort, but without the TVs. Mm-hmm. And it's really more of a naturalist thing. Rustic and the stargazing and all that.
And they have a restaurant there.
They have that top shelf restaurant, by the way, and a really neat pool and all that. And then I would segue over to Log Country Cove, which is a community of log homes ranging from a small one-bedroom to a very large, I think it's 9-bedroom. I can't call it a cabin. I mean, come on, let's face it.
It's like its own little resort.
It's a log mansion.
My name is Mina Martin. We are at Log Country Cove on Lake LBJ.
What a surprise. What a magical, overwhelming surprise for me. I had no idea that anything remotely like this existed anywhere in the Hill Country or Central Texas.
Well, we had this vision or whatever. I was a school teacher. Gary was a real estate broker in Corpus Christi, and we always came to this place for vacation, Lake LBJ, and we found this property one summer.
Was it raw, undeveloped?
Raw, undeveloped land. It all looked like that. Mm-hmm. Gary had to take a machete in front of me so I could walk through it. Mm-hmm. That was so wooded.
Wow. At what point did you guys come up with your vision?
We found the property. We weren't for sure if we were going to do it or not because we had our careers and our kids were in school. We had 3 children.
Well, what were you thinking when you decided to buy the property? Was it just you fell in love with the property? You didn't have this vision of the cabins and whatnot?
We wanted to get closer to our parents at our home and get our kids out of that area.
You were in Corpus.
We were in Corpus Christi. I just want to spend more time with my kids. And we just thought we'll build these little cabins on Lake LBJ and we'll rent them. And we'll just have this little resort. And what's happened, it's grown into this big resort that we never dreamed we would be property managing all the houses in the back. But we thought it would just be this few cabins here down on the water.
Right. And that's the other disconnect that blew me away last night when I got here. You said cabins, I say cabins, and now I'm saying cabin mansion.
Yes. We probably should have never called them cabins, but people sometimes think, well, they don't have air conditioning, they don't have running water. They just have that
rustic.
Rustic. And I said, so we try to elaborate on the rustic but elegant type of cabin. You know, people have all the amenities from Wi-Fi to televisions to king-size beds. you know, and they're right here on the lake.
Well, talk about the main giant one where we went last night. That is so amazing. It's like a resort in itself.
Well, we started with the smaller cabins. Gary and I have lived in several little houses as we built Log Country Cove.
And they're all self-catering. You've got kitchens in them.
They're all fully furnished. I think you're staying in one that's just more an efficiency.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We built those just kind of for the wedding venue. We added that about 5 years ago, and it's been a great hit for destination weddings. So people fly from all over, and they have weddings or families come in, and they have a great vacation.
What would be the least expensive off-season cabin that you could rent here?
The least expensive, you could come in January, February, which the weather is still pretty mild. You know, we do have some cold days, but our little one-bedrooms rent for $125 a night or $150 a night. Investors have come and bought 5 acres, built, as you see, all the houses here, and they put them back in our rental pool. So after probably Big Timber, we pretty much finished it in 2010. The first event there, our daughter Megan got married there. We put the carpet in on Tuesday, literally. The great room that you were in had their wedding there, and then the reception out on the lawn.
Okay,
and
so it's how many square feet inside?
The house itself is about 15,000 square feet.
Wow. You could sleep, what, 30 or 40 people?
Well, originally,
crazy
we were
number.
Gonna live there. We lived there the first year, and we realized we couldn't afford it. It was crazy for us to live there. We needed to rent it because that's our business. So after the first year, we decided just to rent it in the summer, let people come in and use it, families, and everybody took such good care of it. We've opened it up a little bit longer. So our family does use it for Thanksgiving, Christmas, mm-hmm. our reunions, that type of thing. We do live there in the wintertime.
Very fascinating. So the other thing about where we are now in Burnett County in the heart of the Hill Country is your water world. Wow. Talk to us about your lakes and reservoirs.
Well, our lake is very unique, I feel, because it's a constant level lake.
It's always full.
Tuesday. Yeah, it's always full. They maintain it the same level. So no matter in the worst of droughts, there's always water in this lake, and it's always the same. It was built to generate electricity and power. They generate electricity every day with it. You know, they release a little water from Inkstam. If you're ever going to buy property, you need to buy lakefront property on a constant level lake.
That's pretty cool. Talk to us about what people, why they come here, what they typically do.
People come here for family reunions. They come here for just to get away from the city. I don't have street lights. I don't know if y'all could see the stars last night, but you can go to Marble Falls, which is 12 miles away, and barely see the stars. You drive out here, we don't have any lights. In the winter, the lake's too cold, but you can still go do a little boating, you know, just sightseeing, or you can, you know, of course, all of our restaurants, our wineries, our shopping. You know, just little quaint towns, small towns.
I have to say goodbye, but before we go, for further information,
you can go to our website, which is logcountrycove.com. You can view all of our cabins there. We've got one bedrooms to seven bedrooms. You can book online or you can give me a call. My name is Mina Martin. Our phone number at the office is 512-756-9132.
Mina, thanks for sharing.
I'm so glad y'all are here.
I know, me too. I want to come back.
It depends on what you're wanting to do. And if you wanted to have a family reunion where everybody could stay under one roof, yet have their own bedroom and a huge kitchen, that's a great spot to go.
We just touched briefly on wine. This is really a pretty cool wine destination now, too.
It is. I haven't given a radio interview where I've been sipping on a glass of wine, but there's no cameras involved, so I feel a little bit better about that. But no, we do have great wineries. There's something about the acidity in the soil that they claim is just really conducive. Hey, I'm sipping some local grape juice tonight, and it's good.
Wilson Sommier at Pyrosos Vineyard and Winery. Let's talk about Texas today and where it is as a wine growing region and the fact that it's a major wine producing region that a lot of people don't know about.
It is, yeah. It's a big state, but it's a very youthful wine industry. You know, post-prohibition, most of the wine production and sales are staying within state lines right now, so it's not a surprise that it's not overly known throughout the country and the world. But yeah, Texas is rocking and rolling right now.
Where is it nationwide? You were saying number 5?
Yeah, number five producer in the country right now. We love New York, but we're probably going to surpass it at some point based on the organic growth that's happening. Not organic vineyards, but the growth that's happening in the state. It's kind of on fire right now, which is exciting. So it's youthful. Really, the modern industry really kicked back up post-prohibition in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And the last 5 to 8 years has been the big spike. If you picture a graph, it went way up. We're on a path of growth right now and a path of quality growth. And it's been exciting to see what the last 5 years has done so far for us.
In the Texas wine growing and wine producing region, been a reinvention in a frontier land, a sense of discovery and doing things that you didn't even know you could do not that long ago.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, there used to be this discussion of, well, it's too hot to grow grapes, right? And that kind of makes sense if you don't really study the world of wine. But if you ever visit southern Italy or Portugal or Spain in the summer, well, we know wine can be grown in a very hot climate. Look at Livermore, right? Posting over 100 degrees every day. So yeah, there was this mentality that it was too hot and too dry and too harsh to grow grapes. Well, yeah, maybe for certain grapes. Maybe we're not ever going to compete with Napa Valley with Cab, but for grapes like Tempranillo and Aglianico and Montepulciano, Sangiovese, those are grapes that are absolutely thriving in our warm and dry climate right now.
Metaphor would be Spain and Portugal then, right?
Yeah, a good common comparison for soil, you know, terroir in general, would be Spain. You know, Tempranillo is a big deal in Texas now because it's a grape that loves the climate, loves our soil compositions out here in Texas. Amongst many others, I've seen beautiful Merlot grow in Texas. But yeah, if you had to compare it to a region, it wouldn't be California. It would be, you know, southeastern France. It would be north central Spain, maybe southern Italy.
Interesting. And so here at your winery, tell us about what are your flagships? What do people think of when they think of your winery?
I think if I had to pick the top three grapes and wines we're known for, it's our Aglianico, which I'm really proud and excited about, Tempranillo, and Viognier. Those are three wines that really stand out for Parisos and Texas in general, I think. Yeah, it's something, a lot of those that even Texans 5 years ago, like Tempranillo, you know, no one knew what it was, right? And now it makes me so proud when somebody comes in, like, do you guys make a Tempranillo? I'm like, we sure do. Come on in, you know. But yeah, Tempranillo, I don't want to call it the state grape of Texas. It's way too early to say that, but I don't think it's ever going to leave this state. I think it's something that's driving our industry. I think Aglianico is. I think Montepulciano is. I think Mourvèdre is a beautiful resource for this state. In fact, I've heard a grower tell me that Mourvèdre was his only profitable grape every single vintage, no matter what the weather was doing, especially as rosé has made a big impact. You know, dry rosé is the Provence style. Mourvèdre is crucial to us, so it makes beautiful reds. It makes a great rosé as well, dry rosé.
So rosé is back.
Rosé is on fire. I don't know what's happening right now. This is this first American renaissance of Provence. We finally realized that there's a home for white Zinfandel and there's dry rosé, right? And it's a big difference. And we make it in the traditional style, right? We'll bleed some juice off early. We'll press it off and we'll put it in tank for a bit. And we make this beautiful southern French style dry rosé. The last 2 to 3 years, the demand for rosé is off the charts. In fact, we started making a second rosé here in 2017 because it's cool, it's fun, and the demand's high.
It's interesting when you go to the Midwest, when you go to Virginia, when you go to Tennessee, you know what rules is sweet wine.
As our culture grows for wine in Texas, and as we have a lot of people moving from the West Coast that demand great wine and great coffee and great food, I think that's helping to change things in a good way. Even at Parisos, we have slowed and changed our sweeter wine production to dry. We had several off-dry to sweet wines years ago, and now it's becoming more limited, not because we think sweet wine sucks. It's fun to make a great sweet wine, but the demand is not as high as it used to be, and it's changing every day.
Talk a little bit more about that demographic shift, because We both know people that have moved or are moving from the West Coast because, frankly, they're just being priced out. And this is very affordable in general in Texas, even though Austin's going off the chart. Outside, 30 minutes outside of Austin, it's incredible what you can get.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a beautiful place, and I think people have realized that. And that's why the growth of population in Texas is astronomical the last couple of years. And, you know, everybody gripes about the traffic, which is legit, right? But, again, I have this theory, and I think it's true, that bringing people from North Central Coast California, you know, they grew up in a culture that there's great wine everywhere, there's great coffee everywhere, and there's great food everywhere, and they want that to be accessible. I'm not saying that Austin didn't have that to begin with, but Austin was this tiny little, you know, it was a hippie town back in the day.
You can see that palpably happening, that demographic shift is changing and pushing and transforming the culture.
Absolutely. Austin's, I can't say the heart and soul of Austin's changing, but there's a lot of phrase within that are changing a lot. The food culture being one of them. And not to get off subject, but the coffee culture is a growing thing in Austin, which makes sense if you're coming from the Bay, right, or Seattle.
Interesting. And you have spent a lot of time in California. You spent time in France and Europe, yet you're here by choice.
I am. I'm a Texas boy. I was born and raised in Austin, Texas, and I can proudly say that it wasn't always this way with quality, but lately, the last 5 years, Texas is comparatively quality-wise, and a quality producer competes worldwide. I've been to Akim. I've been to Chateau Fombrage. I've been to Odette. I've been, you know, driven past Ag's Leap. We've all driven through there. I've had Minor. I've had some great wines over the years, and it's been a pleasure to have those wines. I've had Penfold's Grange, and I can proudly say our wines at Parisos and the top producers in Texas easily on a quality level will compete with those wines.
And there was a neighboring winery you were talking about earlier that by accident almost won a grand award in, where was it, France, for their wine?
They did, yeah. Pedernal Cellars, their 2012 Viognier. It ended up taking, as far as I know, the only, to date, they're the only American winery to ever take Grand Gold in Lyon in the wine competition, and that was their 2012 Viognier Reserve. And I had the pleasure to work there at the time, and I also got to try that wine a lot, and it was pretty special. It was definitely like a little bottle shock, too, the way it all went down. But yeah, Pedernal Cellars has the pleasure, as far as I know, unless something changed, of being the only American winery to ever take Grand Gold in that competition.
That's a great story. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Nobody expected that, obviously.
Well, Jeremy Wilson, thank you so much for sharing. To learn more about your winery and where you work, website?
Yeah, thanks so much for checking us out and taking the time to come taste our wines. We're Parisos Vineyards here in Burnett, Texas. We're about 60, 65 miles outside of Austin to the west here, northwest. And come see us. Check us out our website. We're active on social media, Facebook Vineyards, and on Instagram, we're Official Parisos Vineyards. And we look forward to seeing you again and seeing everybody come out here and come taste some wine.
Thanks, Jeremy. Judge Oakley, thank you for sharing so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. And, my wife and I love watching PBS and listening to NPR when we drive. We love the in-depth stories. It's not anything that's rushed. And we really enjoy that and appreciate you being here.
My pleasure and honor. Thanks again. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Burnett County in the Texas Hill Country. The underbed music, Cherry Spring Swing, from the album Rodeo Night, was performed by award-winning Marble Falls, Texas-based country singer-songwriter John Arthur Martinez.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. People often associate the Society of St. Vincent de Paul with thrift stores. Donations like clothing, your gently used couch, or still serviceable washing machine generate funds to assist the society in putting food on the table for people in need, or keeping the lights on and families in their homes. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Once again, svdpusa.org. And whether you're shopping for new or used items, donating them, or volunteering, you're helping the Society of St. Vincent de Paul help others.
Elvis called a rising star, saw Chuck Berry's red guitar, Hank the First and Patsy Cline. Johnny Cash once walked the line. Shine your boots, it's Saturday night. You'll swear Bob Wills is still alive. The German folks still love to sing the Cherry Springs Swang. Yee!